right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. I am joined by not one, but two. That's right, two guests. First off, George Whitey and legendary musician Ellis.
Okay, we got to start again.
Yeah, it's George Whitty.
It's George Whitty. Yeah. Sorry.
That's hilarious.
Ellis, at some point I'll tell you a really great story about George Whitey.
Oh, good. Okay, brother.
not right now.
Not right now. Don't do it. It's not for human consumption.
Okay. All right, let's start over.
All right.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. Today I'm joined by not one, but two guests, George Whitty and Ellis Hall. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Hey.
We're good.
Now you have me curious, George. What's the story about George Whitey?
Never mind. Watch out.
I'm not even going to tell it.
Mike, if he told you, he'd have to shoot you and I'm a blind guy, I'd have to try and protect you.
So who wants to go? Well, we'll start with George. George, let's talk to you first, all right?
Okay.
And so, starting out, you had a mom that wanted you to stick with music. All six of you guys, or no, there was kids in your family, and she wanted you to stick with music for at least 6 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you could pick anything. It could be music on any instrument, or you could do the ballet, or I think it would have been okay if you learned to paint or something. But she kind of had this pretty ironclad rule that we were all going to get serious about some art form for 6 years. Like, I think between third grade and eighth grade.
Okay.
And if you didn't pick something else, it would default to the piano, which is what happened to me. And, you know, I'm still at it today.
Still doing it, yes. You've been at it for more than 40 years now.
Yeah, I've been at it for 55 years.
Okay, you've been at it for 55
years. You don't look that old.
Yeah.
So I guess it's safe to say you've stuck with it for more than 6 years then.
Yeah, at the six-year point, you know, I could tell that I was pretty good at it, and I was starting to get pieces that I enjoyed. I didn't really love the what I call the powdered wig kind of music at that time. But once my piano teachers started giving me Debussy and Rachmaninoff, stuff with all that really great harmony in it, then I kind of got on board with it. So I was just enough into it that I kept going after I didn't have to anymore. And then I kind of got a little bit into jazz, and everything just sort of mushroomed out of that.
I tell you, George, my dad is a big jazz guy. He loves improv jazz. Like, if there's a theme with it, he loves that kind of jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beautiful jazz like that.
Yeah. You know, there's so many different ways to do it. There's a lot of people who kind of stick mostly with the theme, particularly if they're singers and so forth. And then there's people who just start from nothing. Yeah. You know, Keith Jarrett's Cone Concert is a good example of something like that. Just get out there and tune in and hit the keys.
And you also are a part of a group called The Third Rail, and you guys are touring around all over the world pretty much.
We haven't done anything lately, but yeah, we did a couple real nice tours of Europe. Third Rail was kind of my trio, and we did it, me and Tom Brechtlein, really, it was our band, and we did it one tour with the great Yannick Wisdala on bass and one with Etienne Mbappé on bass. And yeah, that was a really good project. We were quite pleased with how well it did.
Hey, George,
Yes.
You get a gold penny for just saying those two names, bro.
I think you got Ellis pretty excited there, George.
Which two, Ellis?
Yeah.
Yannick and Etienne or Tom Brechtlein? You must know Tom.
I've met him, but the other one, Yanni, whatever his name is,
Yannick Wizdala.
That's serious tongue twister. I'm still hurting my tongue from those names. Come on.
Fantastic bass players, though. Yannick is from England, and Etienne is from Cameroon. He's another one of those guys.
Well, that's like you introduced us, obviously, to Armand Sevaleco.
Yeah.
Armand Sevaleco?
Sevaleco, yes. He's a great bassist. Great bassist.
Oh. Is that one of your players, George?
Well, yeah. Armand, I've been working with Armand since 1992. He was in Paul Simon's band, the great big touring band that did the Rhythm of the Saints tours and the Graceland tours. And then I play in Armand's band, and we hired Armand to play bass on the live sessions that we did for this record.
Yep.
Incredible musician, super fun guy to be with.
And actually, this recent project you guys had done called What? I know that we'll talk more about it, but you guys, pretty much everybody involved in that has been in the music industry for quite some time.
Hello.
Yeah, I think Aaron Haggerty is the baby of the group. He's, yeah, Aaron, he's Aaron, the youngest. Yes. Yeah.
Yes,
he's like.
Yes. And so also, George, one more thing about you before we get to Ellis, and we'll keep going back and forth. You also have a brother that's in the business by the name of Jeff. I don't know if you knew that.
He's in the kind of the theater and movie business. And he wrote the book for Avenue Q. He won a Tony Award for that. He wrote the book for a bunch of other great musicals. There's one called Bring It On. He's, you know, an incredibly talented person. He was nominated for an Academy Award for his script writing for a movie called Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Ooh, yes.
Great title.
Great.
Yeah, movie. And it's a really great movie.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I definitely would recommend anybody to see that film. It's a great film. But, Ellis, it's now your turn, buddy.
It's my turn. I'm so scared. I look in the mirror and I'm just shaking.
Now, Ellis, about your history, you are a guy, pretty much you're just like Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles.
No, you know what? I'm going to tell you. Let me stop you right there. A friend of mine said, another great producer, he said, E, I want to tell you something. If Stevie and Ray ended up having a kid, you'd surely be it. I said, that's pretty sick. No, I, you know, and of course, they always will lump us in, blind guys. Oh, yeah, he must be this or he must be that. But from the very beginning, my mom, even me singing so loud in church, and she tried to quiet me down. She said, you ain't like nobody. And I said, well, that's the uniqueness of what God presents. One thing you'll find, Brother Mike, I am not religion. I love all religions of love, but I'm highly spiritual. And my mom was an empath and clairvoyant. And from the very beginning, I didn't know what she had. I knew it was something special, and I knew through her and my pops, I had to celebrate even before I got into music because I wanted to be an architect. Now, I didn't know what that would mean because I had vision at that time, not full vision, but enough to walk around and not knock George over if I bumped into him. but the funniest thing is once I got the quote unquote music bug, there was no stopping what I wanted to build. And then, of course, meeting Brother George and others like him who were serious about making the music and letting the music speak without getting in the way. Sorry for the long answer,
Brother. No, not at all. By the way, Ellis, did you get to hear Stevie Wonder perform at the Democratic National Convention?
I heard part of it. I was in the studio working on some of the What project, but what I heard, you know, that brother, and he and I'm going to tell you a quick story, because when I signed to Ray, Ray Charles, of course.
Yes.
Stevie calls me in his inimitable style, and he said, I said, Ellis. I said, yeah, hey, Stevie, what's up? He said, congratulations. And I said, for what, brother? He said, for signing with Ray. I said, thank you, bro. He said, no. But remember, two or more blind people in a room is illegal. Y'all freaking going to jail. Thanks. Thank you so much. But no. Stevie and I have been, you know, buds for a very, very long time, and we both play a lot of crazy different instruments. Although I went down to the studio once, and I was picking on guitar, and his guitar said, "Hey, does Stevie know you play guitar like that?" I said, I don't know. I never thought about it. He said, well, you better leave because he'll come in and have you shot. I said, I guess I better leave. I want to live because he's always wanted to play guitar. And he told me this himself. But he one time had me come to the Forum and sing with him. And who did he call up? The fabulous Miss Diane Shore. I don't know if you know her works, but she's brilliant, brilliant, and one of those other blind folk. And he had us come up and we're singing together on stage. And Stevie, in his inimitable style, stops the show, and we break into a three-part harmony of Three Blind Mice. 20,000 people exploded with laughter. It was hilarious. Three blind mice. That's right, yes. Brother. We ain't prejudiced.
No. No, I'm glad. And, you know, I look at you, Ellis, and what has kept you happy through all these years? Because some people would say, man, I'm blind. Like, they would get angry and bitter at the world and just maybe give up. But what has kept you going, even though
that's a good question. I got to tell you, brother, the one party, and Brother Alec, our dear friend and co-conspirator, the party I avoid is the pity party.
Oh, yes.
Hear me. I have so much fun and recognizing, just like Brother George does, that we're the vessel. I am a vessel. Whatever's going to come through, I let come through. And I choose, through God's grace, to make it, you know, the positive side of things. I ain't got no time for that other stuff. I don't want to take, I desire not to take the time. And from the very beginning, my mom, I don't know how to explain this except for she knew I was going to lose my sight because of glaucoma. So she kept saying to me, she said, I know you're watching TV and your eyes are watering this and that. She says, I want you to start listening to the music and what it's telling you as things come across on screen. And she'd say, describe what you're hearing and then describe before the people are speaking. And that was a great lesson to me. I may not always get it right, but I have pretty close sensibilities. And what really went along with that is as I was hearing my music, I was hearing my music in what they call synesthesia. I don't know if you'll recognize that name or that word, but it's seeing music and hearing music in color. I always have. I don't know why. You know, but that's the way it comes across. And I know George is going to kick me out of the studio now. Get out.
Well, Ellis, I'm just going to say this. You've missed some really killer pity parties. Trust me, I go to them. We have the best time. The food is always really good. We get a little drunk. We talk about Ellis Hall.
See? Wait. You don't know, Brother George. I run the Take a Chance limousine service, so I have.
I'll take that to the next pity party I go to.
Come on.
Don't knock it till you've tried it, Ellis. That's all I'm going to say.
I take a mean left turn, my brother.
Think you take a mean left turn.
My God.
So, Ellis, but you were talking about Ray Charles earlier.
Yes, sir.
I thought the movie Ray, which you were a consultant on, was just beautifully done with Jamie Foxx. That movie was
beautiful.
Let me tell
you, I know people have said this over. He freaking earned that Oscar.
Yes.
And he was, from the first time I met him, he was just as delightful as can be. I mean, I knew of his other works watching his comedies and stuff. He's a crazy character. But when he came in to do the Ray, and then Ray called me up and said, "Jealous, get your cool butt over here. I want you to meet somebody." And of course, I'm cleaning up with the family show. Yeah. But I went over there, and I met Jamie, and Ray said, "Hey, sit down something, play something." And then Ray had to leave to work on some business. So you'll see online me doing Georgia and Jamie in the background doing Ray.
Mm.
And then after he finished, he said, "Hey, send me something you wrote." And one of the things I sang was a song that helped me get signed to Ray's label. So he's doing Ray to my original song. And you'll see it online, brother. You go in JamieFoxx/Ellis Hall. You'll find it. And then you can wave at me, and I'll wave back, I promise.
So I got to tell you, I mean, that has one of the best films I've ever seen, honestly. It was just beautifully done, and like you say.
And it almost wasn't made, like this crazy Hollywood madness. You know, the investor kept trying to tell people, "It's going to be a good movie. You need to let it happen." And finally, when they got it done, and then Jamie won that Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh man.
Once I saw that, Ellis, I knew, okay, Jamie's going to get the Oscar for this.
You felt it. Okay, so you knew. And I send it. A shout out to Brother Jamie. I know he's going through some health things for a while, but they say he's on the mend. So, Jamie, if you're listening to this, I'm waving at your brother. Behave yourself. Almost.
Hi Jamie from Michael Scott too. Me. Hi Jamie. Hope you're well. But
From all of us.
Yes, all of us. So, George, back to you for just a second. You also are currently working or were working with Herbie Hancock, doing some writing with him.
Yeah, what a fantastic project that was.
Yes, Herbie is a great, great musician.
He's kind of the very pinnacle.
Yeah.
And that started out, Michael Brecker turned Herbie on to me to do some technical work for him, like helping him work on, you know, sounds and getting things going. You know, using the computer on stage for a sound source was kind of new back then, and I was quite adept at it. So I got to meet him that way, and then one day out of the blue, I'm not sure even why, he says, "I want to hear some orchestra music that you've done that's your own thing." Whoa. And I happened to have a bunch of cues on my website, like 60 film cues that I had done in various styles. Mm. And we sat there. This was like at 1 a.m. because Herbie's a real late worker. And to my amazement, we sat there and listened to my stuff online for like more than an hour. Wow. And I couldn't believe it. It's like, wow, Herbie's really listening to my stuff? But it's really good stuff. And when we were done, Herbie said, "I think I have a project for you."
Whoa.
And so the project ended up being that he had done these incredible duets, a series of concerts with Wayne Shorter like 10 or 15 years before. And he always thought that it would be cool to get them orchestrated for a full orchestra. So that was where my writing for him started. So I did a couple of those. We played him on a little tour of orchestras. And I kind of became his guy. And then when he started getting these calls to do the work, you know, he had always been affiliated with the LA Philharmonic, but they wanted to do some concerts featuring Herbie's original music with the orchestra, and Herbie called me to arrange for those. And if there was ever any definition of a dream gig, that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Hey, let me continue that thought, brother. How kismet is it, an amazingly small world, that you worked with Dear Herbie, and back in 70. 1974, 1975, I opened up to him with the original, you know, the Headhunters tour. And what's right. really, what's really freaky about that, the first time that he found out I was opening, he ended up checking my show. And then he showed me, I don't know why he did this, but he showed me his whole keyboard setup and asked me to play the different things. I thought I was like, you know, you, once you worked with him in heaven. And the Brecker Brothers played on, it never came out, but a record that I had Randy and Michael, and then I had Tom Scott on the same record. So all these people that Brother George has kind of danced around and waltzed around with, you know, we both have danced around with some great folk in common. Of course, later I joined the crazy Tower of Power and survived.
Power and survived, yes, sir. So let's talk about your most recent project called What? And yes. It has a lot of exclamation points. I know it originally kind of didn't have those exclamation points, but it now does. But George,
it's four of them, and it's capital letters WHAT. So we're shouting at you.
Yeah. And so George, right. you were a admirer of Ellis, and you always I'm sure, I don't know if you've worked with Ellis, but you wanted to work with Ellis on this project.
Well, we've worked before, both of us, way before this.
Wait, okay.
And, ain't that the truth? You know, I first saw Ellis with Tower of Power in, I think, 1988 or 89, maybe, at the Bottom Line in New York City.
Yeah, it was 88. Excuse me.
Yeah, and I had never seen anything like it. You know, I was a huge Tower fan. I was always at their gigs. Bottom Line was the best place to see music in all of New York City, and the whole room would just throb for the duration of the concert. It was just, I still haven't had an experience like that. And then one day I show up, and there's Ellis Hall. And right from the first few notes, it was like, oh my God, this thing was already on the precipice of sliding into, you know, the crevasse, and now it's completely gone over the edge.
It's over the freaking edge, come on!
It was completely over the edge, but everything about it, the way Ellis sang the book, the way he played the book, you know, so I was a fan from way back then. Okay. And it never really occurred to me to get on the phone and say, "Jeepers, Mr. Hall, can I do some music with you?"
Hey, loosen up that underwear.
So we have this really, and isn't it just the way it works? Talk about kismet.
Yeah.
We have this mutual acquaintance, Alec Burfield, who lives in Bandon, Oregon, but lived in L.A. for quite a long time.
Yep.
Knew Ellis for a long time, managed Ellis for some duration, and he knew me and he knew Ellis. I'm from Coos Bay, Oregon, which is 20 miles from Bandon.
And of all the ways to get, that was.
Of all the ways to get connected to Ellis Hall, it comes through Bandon, Oregon.
Hey, crazy world,
yes. Yeah, right? Yeah. But as soon as Alex suggested this thing, and it was always going to be sort of a pro bono project, doing this song for Ukraine to sort of raise awareness about the Ukrainian situation, and then to try to raise some money, we also had a QR code there. But as soon as Alex said, well, you get to work with Ellis Hall on this, I was like, I am in. And, you know, I'm in.
Yeah, hey, Mike, have you heard the song, brother? Hug Me?
I have not yet.
Ooh.
Well, make sure you get it, because it turned out to be quite an epic piece of music.
Yes.
So that's kind of how we met, and it was so much fun, you know, working with Ellis and just... You know, you can't ask for a better partner, and you sure as hell can't ask for a better singer.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's it about?
Yeah, so the whole project just kind of grew out of that.
Really did. Absolutely. Yes.
Well, I also want to promote something else that you have going on, Ellis, called 2035.
Yes.
2035. I don't know what. I don't know what that is. Is that a?
So is that a project that you might be familiar with, or some movie that you might be?
I am working on a movie, but it's not called 2035. Let me see what they call. Oh, it's called I think it's Adventures of a Plus Size Diva. I always get the title messed up. But the
premiere, that better not be about me, Alice.
Hey! Would you watch her on Going? No. October 16th.
I'm a little overweight. It's true.
Yeah. Well,
and I'm a little bit of a diva.
And you don't have to come on. Behave. Stop it.
Plus size. That's uncalled for.
That's uncalled for. You sidewinder. No, I. What it is, and it starred my. She's my manager too, but she's an amazing actress and singing too. And does what she does. Her name is Layla J, and she is in the movie. And these two people have been working to do something, and finally the movie October 16th comes out, and it's going to be apparently all over the country and then all over the world. And I wrote a song that's in the movie called Willing and Able. So I don't know what the 2035 is, but whatever it is, I'll go with it as long as it's positive.
Well, when you send me the song, I'll send you the project about 2035.
Oh, there you go. Well,
and definitely send the checks.
Hey, come on now. Come on, that's what
I'm saying. I don't know if I can do that, but I'll do my best. But gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. God bless you both, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It was our pleasure. Thank you.
Very nice to meet you both.
You too. Great. And the same comes on October 18th.
October
18th. Is that what it is, brother?
Yep.
I wasn't sure of the I know the record comes out in January, but I didn't know the single, what day.
Single is called Die Living.
Yes, right.
Look for what with 4 exclamation points, because 3 right. doesn't cover it.
No, it doesn't.
And it comes out on October 18th.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for your time. Thank you.
Thanks so much.